different people speak in and different philosophies, not philosophies, but different presentations or whatever. So some people might stand behind the pulpit, read a message. Chuck and I were talking about this the other day where Jonathan Edwards, I think it was 1741, July 8th or something like that, he gave a message called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Basically, he went to the pulpit and looked down on the people and he read a message the Lord had given him. And by the time he was done, the people were laying on the floor wanting salvation and wanting to be connected to God. And that kind of began the first great awakening. I'm not saying that's going to happen today, but the other thing is people have different things they're dealing with, and so that might come up in the message. So if it doesn't, you'll be dealing with it during the week of the message that you brought. So some people have three-piece suits, and some, in fact, I had a guy one time, I had a t-shirt and a pair of dungarees on, and I was speaking that day, and he caught me in the parking lot and said, "Oh, that's what people wear when they preach here." I'm like, I don't know if God really cares, but some people wear three-piece suits, some people wear vests, some people take them off, because I'm going to get in trouble here, right, with this thing here. Some people are behind the pulpit. Some people like to sit on a stool. Well, personally, I'd rather sit in the back and have you listen to me rather than look at me. Some people like to roll up their sleeves and kind of get into it and be comfortable. I'd like to see this group in a circle where I can see all your faces and you can see everyone else's faces, but that's a whole other thing. Everyone has their differences and how it's going to be, but the bottom line is, what are you going to do with this man Jesus? That's the bottom line. And even though we may have different presentations, you know, Malcolm kind of moves around and he's over here, and Kathy will go, got to go over there. Again, some people like the stool. I like to roam, but you don't want to be looking at me if I'm back here, right? Anyway. Different presentations, different personalities, different styles of the same message. So another thing that came to my mind was when I was a younger fellow, we used to have a youth group, and we did drama presentations all over the North Country. And it's amazing how many times people would say, "Oh, the kids did great. They did a good job." That's not the point. The point is, what did they say? Did you get, one time we did something, actually we did it here quite a few years ago, and we were talking about, like, what's the building to be used for? And it was a little controversial, talking about weddings, funerals, and services. It shouldn't be a rummage sale place. It shouldn't be a place where you have flea markets or color runs. And so it kind of created some controversy. And the only thing that I heard from anybody was, the kids did a good job. What did you get from it? So regardless of the presentation, listen to the words that the Lord puts on whoever's up here. If John speaks, Chuck speaks, Bob Harris, Malcolm, Reggie, whoever speaks, it's not just the presentation, it's the words. So I have a tendency to dream. I don't know if anyone else does that, but I dream every night. Sometimes when I go to bed, I'm wondering, what am I going to dream tonight? I dream about school situations. I dream about being in college as a 72-year-old man and not going, missing a class and not doing my assignment. Losing my way on campus or whatever, and then I wake up. It's like, oh, thank goodness I woke up out of that one. But I have dreams about people who've gone before us, people who are in our midst now, all kinds of different dreams. But I had two over the last, actually three over the last 10 years. The first one was a dream about a train. I might have shared it before, but I was so intense on the message of the dream that I went to the elders and I shared it with them. And the dream was the train's in the station, it's headed to a destination that we need to go to. Are you going to get on it? That was the challenge I had for the elders. And I don't know if they all liked that, but it was a challenge. And I was in tears when I'm telling this dream to the guys, because I really felt like God's got something for the church. We need to be on board. So the second dream I had, Melinda and I were at a train station. We were headed to the train station, and everyone was just going in a certain direction. The train was on the tracks. The engine was running. We were getting ready to go. But we were being herded there by people who had anti-aircraft guns, but they had, you know, AK-47s and all kinds of different weapons, and they were herding us into this train. And so we were kind of like, something's not right here. So we asked one of the, like all the people that had weapons were young people. And so we asked one of the young guys, what's going on here? And he said, first of all, we've been assigned to move you people into the train, and it's going off in the wrong direction. And they said, if we didn't do what they said, they were going to kill our families. So, long story short, we got some other people in our midst, like you people, and we overtook the guys. It was easy to do because they really didn't want to be doing what they wanted to do. And we eventually overpowered the guys that were directing this, and we all got on the train and it went in a different direction. So, and it was a good direction. So the other day I'm listening to Dutch Sheets. We do this every morning at 6 o'clock or whatever we listen to. It's called Giving 15. And it's kind of interesting because it forces you to give him 15. Give him 15 minutes. It was 13 on this one. Anyway, so we've been doing that. So on the 20th of September, the message was don't miss the train. And so I'm going to do something that someone once told me. I don't like it when you read your message. God puts these things on our hearts and we put them on paper. And sometimes you read it. I don't want to miss anything. So I'm going to read Dutch Sheets' message from September 20th called Don't Miss the Train. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Okay. The story is told, and I'm quoting him. The story is told of a man who rushed into a suburban railroad station one morning and almost breathlessly asked the ticket agent, when does the 801 train leave? At 801 was the answer. Well, the man replied, it's 7:59 by my watch, 7:57 by the town clock, and 8:04 by the station clock. Which time do I go by? So the guy says, well, you can go by any clock you wish. But if you go by the station clock, the 8:01 train has already left. You want to be missing that train. In the scriptures in Luke 19:44, Jesus wept over Jerusalem, saying, you did not recognize the time of your visitation. And I've got a little thing, a little note that I wrote. You rejected the opportunity that God offered you. They missed the train. A group of Israelites decided to try and possess the land of Canaan the day after God told them the opportunity had passed, the day after. And they were routed by the Canaanites. That's from Numbers 14:39 to 45, the train had already left. Ecclesiastes, we're all familiar with that scripture. That tells us timing, that timing is important to God. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. That's from Ecclesiastes 3:1. We must recognize the timings and seasons God ordains for our lives, our ministries, our families, our cities, and our nations. Too often we try to reap during planting season. Doesn't work. We try to plant during harvest. We run when we should be resting, and we rest when it's time to run. Even the right action, even if you do the right thing, if done at the wrong time and is well-intentioned, will cause us to miss the train every time. One of the tribes of Israel, Issachar, had a prophetic ability to discern timing. This is from 1 Chronicles 12. They were men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. Issachar's ability to understand and discern the times gave them insight as to what to do. Recognizing God's timing is one of the keys to taking proper action. I underline recognizing and taking proper action. Daniel 2:20 to 21 tells us, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him, and it is he who changes the times and the epochs of the seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. I have often referred to this changing of the times as the seasons of a divine shift. I kind of feel like we're in a divine shift there right now in our lives. So Dutch goes on to say, we must understand and recognize the divine shifts. Those are moments when God changes the times and the seasons. If not, we would be sitting in the train station with our bags packed, ticket in hand, watching the train that was to carry us into God's purposes disappearing off into the distance. One of the great disasters, I never knew this until I heard this, but one of the great disasters of history took place in 1271. Niccolo and Matteo Polo, the father and uncle of Marco Polo, were visiting the Kublai Khan, at that time a world ruler over China and India and all of the East. So this guy ruled the whole area of China and India and all that. He was attracted to the story of Christianity as Niccolo and Matteo shared it with him and said to them, now this is the big boss, the big, you know, ruler, world ruler. He said, you shall go to your high priest and tell them on my behalf to send me 100 men skilled in your religion, and I shall be baptized. And when I am baptized, all of my barons and great men will be baptized, and their subjects will receive baptism too. So there will be more Christians here than there are in your parts. That's quite the comment from the world leader in that particular area in 1271. However, nothing was done for 30 years. Then two or three missionaries were sent, too little, too late. It is staggering to think what a different world it may have been if China and India had been impacted by the gospel in the 13th century. The opportunity was missed. Could it be that God was trying to create an incredible shift that would have changed the course of history? We may never know, but it certainly seems possible. We must never allow anything like that to happen in our generation. But is it? When God wants to change the times and seasons or the heart of a king, we must do our part to see that it occurs. Here's three verses in Isaiah that speak of God's shift into new seasons. Isaiah 48:6. You have heard, look at all this, and you, will you not declare it? I proclaim to you new things from this time, even hidden things which you have not known. Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. And then the last one is Isaiah 42:9. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Notice the phrase spring forth in the last two verses. These words mark a shift in time. Something new is about to spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? God asks. Even though God's shifts sometimes come quickly, they are typically the end of lengthy processes. And he always gives prophetic alerts. That's why I pay attention to dreams, visions, and words like the one that he had posted on Friday entitled The Showdown. We've posted many words over the last year regarding what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church now. This is the Issachar anointing. We must now be diligent to pray what he is saying. And even though Elijah knew it was time for the removal of Israel's drought, he still had to involve himself. We have to involve ourselves. He confronted the sin and compromise, and he travailed for the release of rain. And that's from 1 Kings 18. Even though Daniel knew it was time for Israel's restoration, he still had to fast and pray to see it come about. That's from Daniel 9. God has been and continues to expose the evil and foolishness in government. Everywhere. Local, state, national, world. He's also been saying over and over that he's going to restore our nation through a great revival that will impact all of society, including government. The Holy Spirit has promised to judge the Ahabs and the Jezebels of our day and bring down giants that oppose him. He's telling us this, not simply to encourage us, but so we can, through prayer, birth his will in the earth, just as Elijah and Daniel did. God works through us, his people, and not independently of them. We must not miss this timing. We must pray fervently and faithfully. We need to read the word daily, and it doesn't hurt if you're really interested and it's been something that's on your heart. You could actually follow this given 15 thing. But also use other reminders. Train yourself to pray simple prayers and make decrees as you go through the day. When you're showering, getting ready for work, driving to work, out in the garden, whatever you're doing, you can do this. But also use other reminders, as I said, the prayer, you train yourself, read the word, and follow him. Now the decrees are kind of like statements that you make that you're committed to, you're intense about, and you're gonna follow through on. He always has a decree. What's the point for this whole thing? Again, as you go through your day, decree that the things that are going on in this world, in this country, in our neighborhoods, whatever, ask God for his mercy and declare that giants will fall. It does not have to be complicated, and it doesn't have to be a long prayer. Be creative. Think of the accumulated time and amount of prayer that would be offered on a daily basis if we all did this. And then he says, friend, we must not miss this train. So that's his post from September 20th. I just want to add a couple of things. And I was thinking about this morning when I see hear the little babies crying, and there's only a couple here. We've got a couple of young couples and some older people. But the other day we read some stuff from Jonathan Kahn about stats, how many people in this generation and that generation are involved in church, and the numbers are unbelievably low in terms of people who are in church. And the younger you are as adults, the less there are. And that's when this is a good example. Thank goodness we get some of you young people here. But overall, look at churches right now. Some of them have been turned into antique shops, housing for the aged. How many sanctuaries are still open to services? So the number of people who are here is smaller than it might have been, but it's not numbers. Somebody mentioned that about numbers. It's not numbers. Debbie, you mentioned that, or Chuck. It's the commitment. I'd rather have 3 people committed than 100 and have 97 on it. It'd be nice to have 100 committed. But anyway, so the point is that, and I'm going to read this, the number of people, young people in churches have dropped. The number of people in churches who are not committed, they go because that's what you do on Sunday morning. And there's a smaller number of people who are intense about their faith. So the portion of the body of Christ, now this is me, not Dutch. The portion of the body of Christ that's okay and comfortable with the way things are around us. You're happy with everything that's going on in your life, and you're not interceding for revival for yourself or for anybody else. You probably won't get too discouraged, but you won't get disillusioned. Oh well, it's just the way it is. On the other hand, if you're passionate and serious and intense for God, you're praying regularly, you're reading the Word, you're striving for revival in your own hearts and in the hearts of the people that you know and the hearts of the world, you're more at risk for spiritual disillusionment and hope deferred. I don't know if you identify with that. Like, it's kind of like the more I want to see something happen, the more sometimes discouraged I get. You know, like John gave his message on critical race. You know, there was a part of me going, how are we going to? There's no way we can do this. There's no way we can fix anything that's going on. We might as well just give up. But if you didn't care, it wouldn't matter, right?
Yeah, just a.
I don't know where the microphone is.
Right here. But, so I have to add that when I was going through anxiety stuff, I realized after a while, somebody had said, like, listen, the reason you're anxious is because you care. If you don't care, you don't worry about nothing. Right? If you're just like lazy basketball about the whole thing, you're just gonna sit back and let things happen. But there's a reason that we're made to care. And some people are a little bit more outgoing that way and kind of push that way because God made us that way. And we just got to recognize that's part of who God made us. And as a Christian, I think if you're really truly born again, that you're going to have a care that's going to create some turmoil in your life and some feelings that are uncomfortable at times. But that's because you care. And if you didn't care, then something's not right in your heart. So it's just something that really keep in mind, I think, that kind of goes a long way.
That's exactly right, Reggie. The other thing I was thinking of as you were talking was that one of the problems I have is that I carry those burdens on. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful that you don't do that because it can tear you down. You need to, give those burdens to Him. Put them at the foot of the cross. It's easy to say that, but the more you care, the more difficult it gets not to be to get through this life because you see all these things that are going on. And all these dreams I have to do with stuff that's going on. I had a dream the other night about my father was sitting on a 1960 John Deere tractor that he bought. It was brand new. He bought it from Ernest and Dwight Stiles. And I was sitting on the 1949 John Deere M that he bought the year I was born. And we're in the parade together. And I had that picture in my wallet in my dream. And when I went to show it to my mother and father later, I couldn't find it. So when I woke up, I almost wanted to run downstairs and go to my wallet and see if I had that picture. I mean, it's so maybe I'm not as peaceful as I need to be. But on the other hand, you don't want to be apathetic either.
That's right.
So we got to find that balance between. The cares and burdens of this world, we're walking around dragging your feet, oh, woe is me. Or over here, hey, I don't care what happens, God's going to take care of it. All I see is it's a beautiful day. So you got to find that balance, you know. If you can find it, maybe you should patent that.
Yes, ma'am.
So to conclude this, I just want to say, If you're not intense like you should be about the Word and about the Lord, you need to get there. And don't give up. God is hearing our cries. He is. And I live with a woman who, as most of you know, is pretty intense about that kind of stuff. I'm not quite that way, but she's intense about that. We need to be intense about it. I've always said, I want to be more like Melinda, you know, in terms of my intensity. But we're different. It's a good thing we aren't the same, because if we were, we'd be going at each other. Anyway, align yourselves with God's will. So how do we do that? Well, you've got to figure out what it is, right? So you can't walk around like this wondering what God's will is. You've got to explore, you've got to study, you've got to pray, you've got to read the Word, and figure it out. Before I have a final thing, does anybody want to add? I mean, this group here, you know, like Malcolm talks about, you know, we know this group pretty good. And I think this group wants, I don't think you want to miss the train.
Yeah.
There's nobody here. I mean, put your hand up if you want to miss the train. And, you know, go by the train clock, or the station clock, and not by your own. Because yours might be off. At home, our clock is 5 minutes ahead, so we get somewhere early. But we know it's 5 minutes
ahead. I was going to say that.
But it should all be synchronized. Anybody have any thoughts? Or sometimes I feel like nobody has any thoughts. I mean, I didn't get anything.
I think building on sort of your last train of thought, it's easy for us. There's a lot of like othering and dehumanizing that's sort of going on, and it's easy for us in the church to look at the other side as doing that and saying, you know, labeling people unvaccinated or labeling this or Trump supporters or whatever. And I think just as easily we, even in the church, can fall into that. And you're just dehumanizing the people that are tearing the country apart or doing whatever, but we can't do that. That takes away from who we are. You know, that's using the weapons of Babylon to fight Babylon. And you need to love those people. And I find it myself. You look at the news or you read it, whatever, and you're like, man, that guy's an idiot. Like, and you get angry or whatever, and you're just sort of like, yeah, but your heart should be breaking for that person and for those people, because they're just so lost and in such darkness. And sometimes you can find that, and sometimes you just get caught up in the animosity or the anger or the upset or the anxiety or whatever it is. But I think it's something we need to keep striving for as a church body.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things we've been talking about in leadership is that, you know, we can't always spend our time saying, well, that church isn't doing it, or the church is falling, you know, apart over here, or they're not following. I mean, we watch the Victory Channel Flashpoint, Tuesday and Thursday at 8 o'clock, Flashpoint. There's stuff going on in this country, in the church. It's not on the major networks, but people like us are out there. And they're taking stands for the truth, they're taking stands for what's right, and so we have to be encouraged that it's not, you know. We're doing it right, no one else is. And back to your point, John, I had a person who attacked me on, I'm not a Facebook guy really, but somebody messaged me on Facebook and they attacked me because of my views on the pandemic. And the words were pretty nasty. This is one of my former students. I was a favorite teacher. And I just let it go. So, I mean, I want to respond right then and there. And, you know, like he was, I could have done that, but it wouldn't have been real good. Because I needed to sort this out in my mind. So a few days later, by coincidence, I saw her in the grocery store and called her by name and was friendly to her. And she proceeded to attack me verbally in IGA. And, you know, my first response is to go up and just, and I just said, well, I appreciate that, and I thank you. We are all entitled to our opinions, and I only print the truth or whatever. But, and of course, I met her 5 times in a row going down the aisle. And at the end, I wanted to say, it was really good seeing you today, and I appreciated our conversation or something. I didn't get a chance to do that because she was kind of off. But we can't go there. You have to set a different tone. And I was talking to a guy the other day who his father and his cousin were having a conversation about everything going on in this country right now, and they were fighting like mad. And so this guy told his father, shut up. Literally, shut up. Sit down and shut up. And then he proceeded to have a conversation with his cousin, and she started sharing stuff that was going on in her life. And before you know it, there's a little healing that's taking place. But we have to confront those things in the right way. Because you can't win an argument with someone who's just as solid as you are on a subject.
Passion is good. Reaction, not so good. Right. A lot of times.
Yeah.
So the timing of God is so important, and it is tied so closely to trust. Because we will all have the opportunity when we go to the training station to say, I like this train better. And if you don't think that's true, just read in the Old Testament the story of Moses, the story of David, the story of Joseph. The timing of God was so important that you can't run ahead of him. You can't get ahead of God, and you can't lag behind. You want to take his hand and walk with him, because we'll get ourselves in serious trouble. It's really a trust that he knows better than we know. And he sees the whole picture that we don't. And along with that, don't think for a minute that your obedience is not going to be challenged. It will be. There was prison time involved for these three guys. There was wilderness time involved for these three guys. There was opposition. Don't be afraid of that. Just take his hand and say, God, your timing is perfect and right. And we have all got to get involved in this. Because who here in our own midst is waiting right now for God to do something in their life? Whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual. Every one of us is waiting for God to interact with us at a high level. And he may be saying, God may be saying, you're the one I want to interact with this person right now, today. And if we don't do it, if we're not obedient, our brother and sister is going to walk out these doors and they're not going to get what they need. And is it our fault? I'm not going to say that. But let's not live with regret.
This passage of scripture has scared me since the time of turning. And it's talking about trains, and trains going in different directions. And it's the word of Jesus. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only if you find it, boy, hard to get on that right train. I mean, you got to stick close, like you were stating. And Lord, help us stick on that train.
So, Claude, you just ended that with, you know, it's hard to get on that right train. But I don't think it is hard. I think we make it hard. God is just saying, follow me. Just follow me. Be obedient and trust me. But we make it hard.
That's not the truth. We make everything hard.
Just make sure it's the right one.
Yeah, right.
This came across me a couple days ago. By constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. The resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. So do not despair. Your past is not your future. I stand on the threshold of grace as I begin in perfect places, and you and others, trust me, trust my timing, trust my vision for that which I have called you to. There is no other way. You must trust my wisdom, timing, and power to perfect and bring completion that which I have begun.
That's powerful. I had some things happen this week, and I thought I wouldn't do this, but when you have a message on your heart, God always puts stuff on, you know, like in your path. Like this morning at 8:55, I got a message on my text, and it was a scripture and a description of it that fit in perfect. I'm not adding that, because I could add 50 things, you know, but that, you know, that kind of fits right in. And I didn't talk to you about that, did I? Anybody else?
Yeah, I have three different time zones in my house. And I know the bathroom clock gains about a minute a month. And there's no little plus minus adjustment on it. And then the one in the bedroom runs a little slow. There's no plus minus adjustment on that. And I don't know why I'm not doing anything about it. But I know if I want to leave my house at 5 minutes of nine to get here on time, on the bathroom it's going to say it's 11 minutes of nine or something like that. And then one in the bedroom's like, well, I got plenty of time. So, thinking that we do the same thing with the word. We hear from our friends, we hear from the news, we hear from the internet, and there's one true word, which is God's word. And I consider it to be like the Greenwich Mean Time. If I want to know what time it really is, I look at my cell phone, and that's based on Greenwich Mean Time. So we need to look at the Lord's word, and only the Lord's word. That's a challenge. With your friends saying this and thinking that, and what's in the news, which channel do you watch, which newspaper do you read? All this confusion and chaos could be eliminated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have one clock to go by, huh? By the way, Kelly, it's nice to see you here today.
Thank you.
One of my former students from back a few years ago, huh?
A few years ago, yeah.
I like what you said, and I forget your name now. Jack.
Chuck.
About God's, if we're behind or ahead of him. You know, it says to be evenly yoked with him, and then it becomes easy. You know, if we're walking right beside God, if we're walking right with him, it makes it so much easier. And we all have a testimony that, you know, how we came to Jesus, how we came to God. And I'm praying. I haven't asked God one day. I'm like, okay, Lord, what is it that I'm a child of God, right? And we all are. But what is it that makes me a child of God? What have you put in me as your child? Because we all have special gifts that He's put in us. And on my heart, you know, He said that He gave me the gift of compassion, and that I'm a prayer warrior. So I'm a weaver. So I cry at the, you know, and that's a gift that He's put in me. You know, it's a beautiful gift. But we have to believe in His miracles and His timing that's perfect. For me, I was diagnosed a year ago with MS, January 2020, in fact. And I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk but more than two steps. I had to be carried to the bathroom. I couldn't talk. I had paralysis on my left side. I was out. There was all kinds of things going on with my body. I have 11 lesions in my brain right now. I'm not saying that for any sympathy at all, but what I'm saying is we have to believe in His miracles, because I'm walking today because of Him. You know, I pray every day in the anointing, and the elders pray for me, and I have people pray for me. And every day I got better because of Him. I'm not walking with a cane today. I can speak today. You know, there's days where, you know, the enemy tries to come against me, and I, you know, my speech starts to go, and, you know, I have nerve pain in my legs. But I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, because I know He's stronger. So that's what I pray for. But when I was sitting here thinking about that, like, we all have special gifts, that we're all part of the body, and the Bible talks about that, how we all have our special part. Yes. So if we all share in that special part in the body, it just knits us closer together, and we can do our work by just each of us putting in that special gift in the body, lifting each other up, knowing that he's going to persevere and give us the miracles that he promised.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
I like that. Amen to that. Ooh. Okay. Anything else before we close? Okay, I'd like you to do one of three things. Four things. You stay where you are. Get on your knees. Stand up. Or come up front for this prayer. I'll leave that up to you. Are we ready? Father, you have told us by your Spirit that the showdown is coming. You have said, America shall be saved. We believe these words. You have also told us we are moving into a great awakening. We believe this also. We believe you are coming to rescue millions and millions of people around the world and in this country from the stronghold of spiritual death. We honor your our partnership with you. We are your church on the earth, your family. We take seriously our responsibility to speak for you as your ambassadors. We boldly declare, as Jesus told us, come forth, yes. Manifest kingdom authority of Christ on the earth. Will of God be done on this earth. We ask you for great power to be released. We ask you for your glory to be released. We ask you for your angels to be released in greater number. We ask for principalities to be dealt with around the world, in our families, in our community, in our church, in our government. We ask for multitudes to be free from their influence. We ask you for wickedness to be judged and dealt with, and evil to be cast down in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And we decree that we will not miss the time of our visitation. We will not miss the training. Amen.
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 All right, we're going to go into worship, and then we're going to do communion. So we're going to end with communion.